It's just a blessing and a joy to be with you this morning. We are living through some difficult times, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
Having some hard times in our country.
Yeah.
I think we've jumped one hurdle. We got a reprieve for the next 4 years.
Wow.
And that's all I'm gonna say about that. But God blessed us to have a reprieve for the next 4 years. And we are super grateful to him for that. I love y'all's preacher, and I'm sure y'all already know that. I am a friend, and he is a friend to me, and we both are striving to serve King Jesus and make him happy with our lives and what we do. I don't want to keep you too long this morning, but I do want to share a text with you, and hopefully God will bless and anoint this text and direct it to somebody's heart, somebody's life, and bless you because of it. In the book of Jonah, one of your familiar Bible characters and very familiar Bible story, in verse 5, the text says, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what might become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd, but God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day and smote it, the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And notice this, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And let me share verse 11. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? If you are at all familiar with the story of Jonah, you know that the Lord came to Jonah and told him, I need you to go to Nineveh. Y'all remember that story, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I just want to talk to you for just a little while on the idea of when God gives you a difficult assignment. When God gives you a difficult assignment. God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I need for you to go to Nineveh. Your assignment is to go to Nineveh and share a word with the people of Nineveh.
Amen.
But Jonah decided, I'm not going to Nineveh. In fact, I don't even like Ninevites. I'm not going to Nineveh. I haven't left anything in Nineveh, and I'm not going to Nineveh to get anything. I'm not going to Nineveh. Instead, I'm going to go to Tarshish. And you know how that Jonah left and went to Joppa to see how he could get to Tarshish. And he found a ship that was going to Tarshish and yeah. bought a fare and got on that ship. Y'all remember how that when Jonah had got on that ship and gone down into the belly of that boat, and the boat set out for Tarshish, that God sent a strong wind to the boat where Jonah was on. So much so that the mariners on that boat thought that the boat was about to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And they began to take their own stuff and throw it overboard as if somehow they would be able to lighten the load and cause the storm not to tear up their ship. And they began to pray to their gods that their gods might intervene. And they found Jonah asleep. And they asked, Why aren't you praying to your God? We are about to die here. You need to get up and pray to your God.
Yeah.
And you remember how that they said, where did you come from and where are you going? And Jonah told him, I'm running from the presence of God. Jonah had a difficult assignment and he refused to obey what God had commanded him to do. And in so doing, he brought jeopardy on the life of others around him because of his not obeying what God commanded him to do. Y'all just be patient with me. I'll be there in a minute.
Yes,
so they cast lots because Jonah said, I'm the reason for the storm. I'm the reason we're going through the problems that we are having. And if you cast me overboard, your problems will get better. And they decided after they had cast lots about what to do with Jonah to cast him overboard. And notice this, when they got Jonah off the boat, the storm ceased. isn't that something? The reason that a lot of folk have storms in their life is because they got the wrong folk on board with them.
Lord have
Sometimes
mercy.
Sometimes you got to lighten your load of folk who don't mean you no good. I'm gonna move on.
All right.
They threw Jonah overboard, and the storm ceased, but it wasn't over for Jonah because God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And if you notice what's happening here, God prepared the wind that caused the storm, but then God also prepared the fish that swallowed up Jonah.
Yeah.
And as the story would go, Jonah was in the belly of this great fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. It's interesting to me that Jonah had decided not to accept the assignment that God had given him, but the wind accepted their assignment and the great fish accepted its assignment. Sometimes God's creatures are more obedient to him than we who were made in the likeness of his image. God had sent the great fish to swallow up Jonah, but the fish wasn't there to destroy Jonah. The fish was there to protect Jonah. Have you ever thought how could Jonah breathe in the belly of a great fish? How could Jonah avoid being consumed and digested by the acids of the fish's belly? How could Jonah be conscious enough to pray to God in this dark, damp, dangerous environment in the belly of a fish in the midst of the sea, and yet God was protecting him? See, God's agenda does not change to accommodate us. We have to change in order to accommodate his agenda. God has an assignment for each of us, and we have to follow God's assignment just like he gave it. In the belly of this fish, and after 3 days and three nights, God commanded the fish to spit Jonah out. And the fish vomited Jonah out. And when the fish came and had vomited Jonah out, God came back to Jonah a second time. And he said, Jonah, I needed you to go to Nineveh when I first came to you, but your assignment has not changed. I still need for you to go to Nineveh. It was a three-day journey that Jonah made in one day. He turned a three-day trip into a one-day journey after God dealt with him in the middle of the sea, in the belly of the fish. And this is where we get to our text. Now, just follow it with me. God had a message that he needed Jonah to preach to the Ninevites. And that message was simply this. You have 40 days to get your act together, or Nineveh will be no more. You got 40 days to turn your act around, or Nineveh will be no more. He came into the city, delivered his message, and had gone back out of the city. And when the Ninevites received the word from God, they began to repent in sackcloth and ashes, from the least of them to the greatest of them, because of God's word. And Jonah was upset because Jonah did not want to see the Ninevites saved. Mm. Now, isn't that something? See, God doesn't give us the luxury or the freedom to choose whom he will save. God just simply says, you be devoted, you be consistent, you be obedient to the assignment that I gave you, and you let me do the work that only I can do. You go and you complete the assignment that I give you, and I'll do all the rest of the work. See, it doesn't matter, Jonah, whether or not you like Ninevites or not. I like Ninevites, and I need the Ninevites. See, you just carry them the word. See, I'm not asking you if you've had a bad experience with Ninevites. I'm saying that I need the Ninevites to hear this word. You just obey the assignment. And Jonah got angry because Jonah did not want to see. In fact, he said, I knew that if I carried your word to the Ninevites, that you are a gracious and a merciful God, and that you would save those folk who I disdain.
Yeah.
Here we go. Y'all all right? I hope y'all stand with me. I want to share a couple of thoughts, and I'm going to try to leave you alone. The first thing that I want you to see, look at verse number 6 again with me. Said that, and the Lord God prepared. Let me back up to verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat down on the east side of the city, and there he made a booth or a covering and sat in its shadow till he might see what become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, a plant, that it might grow, that it might come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. See, Jonah was in grief, and God saw his grief, and God decided that I'm going to give you something to help you when you are going through your difficult time. And what we discover, as God did for Jonah, God will also do for us. We have a God who comforts us when life grows weary. God prepared a gourd. God prepared a plant. God gave Jonah a covering that became his security. It met his needs. We have a God who comforts us. In fact, God gives us the Holy Spirit as another comforter to help us when life grows weary. God will always comfort. God will always give you what you need when you are going through your season of difficulty. I don't know about nobody else, but 2020 has been a difficult year, and a lot of folk have struggled. Some folk have been infected with COVID. Other folk have lost their jobs. Some folk have been in food lines. All kind of things have called us distress in this year. I stopped by to tell you this morning that we have a God who will comfort us when we go through our difficult times, because sometimes life grows weary for us, and God secures us and God sustains us.
Yes, sir.
Because he is a God of comfort. And let me take it a little bit further. This is where the story changes just a little bit. Look at verse number 7. It said, not only did God prepare a gourd, but also that God prepared a worm.
Yeah.
And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that the gourd withered. Y'all see that? Not only do we have a God who comforts us, but we also have a God who commands us when life begins to wither around us. Now notice how this happens. Jonah was exceedingly happy for the gourd that God had placed over him. But when God decided to remove the gourd and sent a worm as an agent of destruction to take the gourd out, the gourd withered that God had sent.
Yeah.
The worm was not some big event that happened. The worm was a small, insignificant thing. And it was this small, insignificant thing that got into the gourd that caused the gourd to wither. I'm trying to say that it's not always the big, obvious things that destroy us in life. It's not always the big stuff that you have to worry about. Sometimes it is the small, insignificant things of life that has the potential to cause life to wither for us. The worm was small. The worm was unseen. Jonah never saw it coming. And when the worm did its work on the gourd withered and died. Look at verse eight. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement heat, a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God prepared the gourd. God prepared the worm.
Yeah.
But then God also prepared the vehement east wind.
Yeah.
God not only comforts us, but God also commands us. God also chastens us. God comforts when life grows weary.
Lord have mercy.
God commands when life withers. But God also chastens when calamity comes. He did it to Jonah, first of all, by taking out the gourd, but also by sending a vehement east wind to beat up on Jonah's head. when God chastens Jonah, he does so in such a way that there is no escape for Jonah. It was an inescapable punishment. It was an inescapable chastening that God applied to the life of Jonah. Not only was it inescapable, but it was also severe. It was so severe that Jonah wished that he were dead. Stay with me. I only have a little bit more. Jonah wished that he was dead because not only was his joy taken away with the plant, but now the heat is beating on him from all sides. Have you ever felt hemmed in? Have you ever felt that you can't get out? You can't get away. There is no pathway forward for you. It's one of those moments where you feel that God has left and abandoned you. It may not be that God has abandoned you. It just might be that God is trying to get your attention.
Yes, sir.
He said, a vehement east wind to beat on the head of Jonah. It was inescapable. It was severe. But then lastly, I want to show you one other thing. Look at where it goes in verse number 9. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? Do you have a right, Jonah, to be mad because the gourd is gone? And he said, I do well to be angry. You see how Jonah responds? I have a right to be angry, even unto death. And the Lord said, you have had pity on the gourd. First of all, that you didn't plant, you didn't labor for. You had nothing to do with how it grew. And yet when it came up in a night and left in a night, you mad? What we see is that God didn't only chasten Jonah, but now God confronts Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And God not only confronts Jonah, but God also confronts us in those moments when change begins to challenge us. He said, Jonah, you mad over the plant, over the gourd? I gave it to you. And if I, as your God, gave it to you, I, as your God, can reclaim it whenever I want it. I had to start thinking about myself. How often have I been upset about something that I didn't have anything to do with happening in my life? And yet when that was taken from me, I'm upset with God for taking what he gave. I had to realize that it wasn't mine to start with, and God can claim it whenever he wants to claim it. I had to realize that even my life doesn't belong to me anymore. When I became a child of God, my life became hid in Christ Jesus, and God can even call me when he needs me or wants me back. I don't have anything that didn't come from God, so that when God takes back what's his, I have to allow God to be God all by himself. Jonah said, yeah, I'm mad. And I have a right to be mad, even unto death. See, what Jonah didn't understand is that Jonah, all of it belongs to God, even the Ninevites. And what we see when God begins to challenge Jonah because of the changes that God had made, it wasn't that God was only preparing the plant or that God was preparing the worm or how God prepared the vehement east wind, or how that God had prepared the great fish or the wind, what God was really doing was preparing Jonah to be the kind of servant that could obey the assignment that God had given him. When God confronts me, when God confronts you, when God confronts any of us, God is confronting us to prepare us to be better in the kingdom. Let me close with this and I'll leave you alone. In verse number 10, the Lord said, Jonah, you've had pity on the gourd for which you had not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. If you can be that way with the gourd, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons? See, Jonah, it's not about you and your like for Ninevites. It's about you being faithful
to me,
to assignments. Sometimes God give us difficult assignments, but just know, Maywood, that God will give you everything you need in order to complete the assignment that he has given you. God bless you. May God ever keep you as he holds you in the hollow of his mighty hand. I turn the service back over to the brothers.